Blog Talk Radio.
This is WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a broadcast service of Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center, Greater Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Time for healing.
the Lord, and His train fills the temple. I see the Lord, He is highly lifted up. And it strengthens the temple. I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up. Yes, You are, Lord. And angels cry.
And I cry, holy. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. And thank you for what you are doing, what you are doing in the various people groups throughout the whole earth. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing with the countries that are in the border of the northeast tip of Africa. And we thank you, Lord, and how this relates to what you're doing in Haiti. Hello, this is Dr. Shirley Caniff here, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. We just celebrated our 8th anniversary, and yesterday, Valentine's Day, it marked our anniversary, and God moved through that as he moved through our whole lives as he prepared each one of us, our hearts ready to meet the other, and you know, the process took, well, how many years, Jeff?
20.
And we knew each other for that. And then, but the Lord had taken the veil away from us probably about
2000.
Year 2000. So that's about 13 years ago.
It came off then.
And he did so, you know, and he moved the signs and wonders to let us, each of us, know how he's called ourselves to each other through him. I came through the gate of mercy. I actually literally had a moving vision on the eve of our wedding day of Jesus and me, kind of, Jesus coming to me in the picture of divine mercy that I had in my living room on my prayer kneel. And it was like me walking down the aisle as the bride and a prophetic bride of Christ, and Jesus turned to me, and I turned back to me, and it was like we were just walking down. I was walking down the aisle with Jesus, in the spirit, to my husband. This is the day before we actually exchanged vows before the Lord. So, God is doing some powerful work in these days, especially in His Holy Ghost. You know, for those who call upon His name and are called according to His purposes in Christ Jesus. So the theme of today is Exodus 2, what's happening in Egypt, okay? My husband Jeff has been following what's been going on. We both have. But while I attended to the task, the daily living, he would, on his time, on his days off from work, would do a lot of research what was going on in Egypt. The Lord had given me a dream about the people of Iran and his heart for the people in Iran and how the government was oppressing them, but how he was working through the government. He even took me to Iran just to understand the tensions that existed and the implications of Sharia law and how we have to call the prophetic people together that have one thing in common, prophetic prayer intercession for the nation, specifically for the Middle East. So without much ado, before my husband totally falls asleep, because this is early in the morning, I want Jeff to give an account of what the Lord's been showing him in this. And, you know, I want to begin with the scripture. We called upon the Holy Spirit, but let's flip open to the book of Exodus and what the Lord is saying regarding this move and how it relates to Exodus 1 where he called the Hebrew nation through Moses' ministry of deliverance to come out of Egypt and head in towards the promised land. Okay, so now we're seeing in Exodus 2 happening where, you know, it's already been, the church, parts of the church, the Orthodox Church, have been already established in Egypt and things like that. But the news doesn't talk about that, only a little bit. And there's been a huge prayer efforts happening on the ground there in the Middle East. And it just seems that there is a move that has begun in the Holy Spirit for all of God's people and those destined to be God's people to leave Egypt, you know, in the spirit. They can physically be there, but the Lord's doing something in the heart of man in that whole region because His coming is near. And He's
come and shine your light, Father of hope, come and breathe your light. And hear our cry for more of you. And hear our cry. Fire.
Hi, wasn't Josh Young great? That was Cover the Earth from the album Cover the Earth. Okay.
Again,
we are looking
at 13 and 14.
Especially 14 because, actually, I'm sorry, it's not 14. We're still on 13, the second part of 13, because the second part of 13 deals with crossing the sea. And this is what's happening. God's taking the sea of humanity that's in that region, and we're spiritually crossing over the sea. And the people in America, the Christians in America, we need to really ask the Lord, what are you doing? We don't need to become political commentators, entertaining the political spirits that are over this country to see something spiritually, to try to see something spiritually that's happening over there. There's too many leaders in the body of Christ that call themselves prophetic, that even have major prophetic anointing to teach on the prophetic, and I help people discern and identify the prophetic, that are using all observation only, external observation of a situation that only observes the people's response to the political spirit. There's a lot of other things that are happening beneath the scenes in the Holy Ghost, and we need more leaders to step up to the plate, to inquire of the Lord's heart, all right, from a genuine move of the compassion and the love of the Spirit of the Lord, to get a hold of God's heart, to really, really lay down their faith before the Lord, prostrate their faith and their faith, all right, so that they, you know, get a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment and really ask the Lord, what is it that, you know, is going on in the spirit, so I can understand how to discern better and pray. I think this is where we need to be as a people, as leaders in this country, if we are truly wanting to serve the Lord in this day and age. Mm-hmm. So we are entering into that season as a body, crossing the sea. So we need to tailor our prayers towards that end, especially as we are seeing what the hand of the Lord is doing in the people. Seems to be disorderly, but that's because of these ancient systems, these strongholds that are coming down around the people of God, around the people and the people that are destined to be the followers of Christ. We really have to understand that, folks. All right, so here it is. Jeff, why don't you read Exodus 13 and then give a commentary on that.
The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belong to me, whether man or animal. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Ahab, you are leaving when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. The observance will be for you like a sign on your hand, and a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips, for the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In the days to come, when your son asks, what does this mean? Say to him, With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb, and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand.
And so crossing over.
Mm-hmm. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road to the Philistine country, though that was shorter. God said if they faced war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear on oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for that word in Exodus. We thank you for, Lord, for where you are leading the people in the various Middle East countries. Lord, we ask for your peace, the peace of Jerusalem, to cover them and to hover over their hearts. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over the heart of those people, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we ask for the holy angels to come and surround them and camp, as they set up their encampment. And Lord, subdue the powers of the enemy to make this into an evil war in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Be the Lord of this. Exodus 2, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And so, Jeff, honey, as you read that scripture, what was the Lord showing you regarding this? And what has he been showing you, what's going on in the Holy Ghost with these alleged uprisings, but they're actually the Lord's hand guiding the people out of an oppressive
situation. And Egypt has had one ruler for 30 years, and these people are suffering. They were unable to take care of the financial needs of the people. Unemployment is very high. And the people organize themselves.
You say it's greater than 30%. In this country, it's like 9%, 10%.
I think that might be Iran. Be crossing my information. But
yeah,
it's the same, like,
geographical economic
zone.
Yeah.
It could be true for the other countries because Iran had an earlier kind of protest in 2009 that kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't as effective.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot.
The Egyptians demonstrated today that they could, civilly protest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they knew they also had to put their lives on the line because they didn't know the reaction of the leadership or the reaction of the police.
Mm-hmm.
And some did get injured and some might even got killed, but it was far fewer than it could have been if there was an all out assault by the police to prevent this from happening.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these protesters, they're actually educated adults,
well educated,
not just educated, but well educated graduate students, people that just had enough. They said enough is enough, and that enough is Lord speaking to their heart, saying enough is enough. Let my people go. And so, what would you like to leave with the listening audience, so we don't really get into the political trap of, you know, analyzing this thing to death, where it's really spiritual.
I think the more important thing is that the saints throughout the earth need to pray,
mm-hmm.
need to offer to the Lord their intercession, their fasting, their, however, their worship, however they offer the,
mm-hmm.
their prayers and devotions to God.
Mm-hmm.
And they must, and I think another thing is that the saints have a lot of power in declaring the work of God.
Amen.
In any region, from any point on the earth, because the Holy Spirit encompasses the whole earth, so when a saint in Boston, Massachusetts prays for 6,000 miles away in Egypt or whatever the distance is,
those prayers are going to be answered.
They're still answered prayer, but
mm-hmm.
then God goes forth to manifest the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And these groups have mixed people there. They're not just Islamic people. There's Christian people.
There's atheists,
agnostic.
There's Catholic
people.
Yes.
There's Orthodox people.
Yes,
there's the
yes.
Christian groups.
Mm-hmm.
And many other smaller denominational groups.
Right.
But you know what? The salt is already there. We need
That's
to
right.
encourage the people of God who are there in the land
mm-hmm.
to increase
their voice
prayer
and in
as
voice.
We increase our voice on your behalf before the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll decree, you know, what, you know what I'm decreeing? Exodus 2 on Facebook, you know, of Christians that are coming forward from various denominations who the Lord has already woke up in the night season to, you know, pray, let my people go, and also connect with some of these people that are on the ground forces in Egypt and Libya and all those places. It's really amazing how the miracle of social media network is, if used properly and responsibly, and according to, you know, how the Lord wants us to use it, it can bring world, you know, it can bring the peace that surpasses all human understanding. Everybody's like, well, I hear this voice, and it's not of the Lord saying, you know, Jesus, there will be no peace until Jesus returns. Well, Jesus is going to return in the spirit. You know, I hate to prop your bubbles, but and how he returns is through the prayers of his saints. So finish what you're saying, Jeff.
Yeah, we just need to go all out in this in
yeah.
Prayer, fasting, adoration, worship, 24/7, or as long as you can, in according to your circumstances, if you're employed, maybe more so if you're not fully employed, just because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means God is eternally responsible because he brought us, he made the earth for mankind, and it seems like I see these movements of mankind in their different nations moving to improve their land, moving to improve the economy, moving to improve their government.
Mm.
Most people just want to have an environment to live in that they can afford, that will provide a means of sustenance, provide people who grow food the means of selling that food to those who need it, and as well as it's just got to be a global view. It can't be narrow-minded, and it's like each country is taking it on because they want justice. They want to be able to live in, even though there's many diverse religions in the world, the people of these nations want to live in a place of peace and where everything, where they can have sustenance, have their families, teach their faith, whether it be Christian faith, Islamic faith, or all the different divisions of Islam or other religions, whatever, the traditions of Islam. You know, people just want a place to be able to raise their families,
mm-hmm.
And try to live a life that's pleasing according to their understanding
mm-hmm.
of God.
You know, Jeff, as you were talking, I just had this vision of the Lord setting up safety zones in these regions. I just saw lots of even Christians coming from this nation and even the European nations to bring food and sustenance while the Lord is rearranging these nations and also setting the people up to flood to Israel. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's been so many different different perspectives, prophetic perspectives, alleged prophetic perspectives over the years, talking about how the nations are going to march to Israel and, you know, it's going to be massive slaughter. I just don't see where that is a valid description of what the Lord wants, of the perfect will of the Lord. Maybe His permissive will, but the perfect will of the Lord wants for God's people. The message of Jesus is always peace, 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 and you have to receive it through Jesus in prayer, okay? You have to lay down the weapons of the natural weapons of warfare and pick up the weapons of warfare in the spirit, which do not lead to bloodshed. Only the natural man-made weapons lead to bloodshed. And what the Lord seems to be doing to His people is opening the eyes and seeing what they have in the spirit, seeing what they have, and as far as faith is concerned, and when you have faith and you can unite it to the things of the Lord, as we talked about in the various Faith Talk Live Prayer here, Blog Talk Radio, or WSCIRO, that the Lord, moves mountains. He can move mountains, and we need to be a mountain-moving people. All right, we don't need to look at the circumstances. Oh no, we need to call in the armies of men. No, the Lord wants to call in the armies of heaven. All right, which is a much more superior army, and this army can actually wage battle in a neater way, and overthrow powers of principalities and other over regions in ways that we as man cannot if we only resort to the weapons of mankind. Okay, so, but if we don't use these weapons, the weapons of mass destruction will come, and it will not be a pretty sight. So this is a time of grace and mercy where we need to implore the mercy of God and the justice of heaven in this circumstance. Okay, especially where there's been people that have been oppressed. And we need the Holy Spirit wants more than anything to overthrow the spirit of oppression, the regime of oppression that has connected and united itself to the political spirit of legalism over these countries and things like that, that have prevented a free flow of the Lord's Holy Spirit touching people's hearts. And so this is what we're seeing, and this is how we should be praying. What do you say about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I fully agree with that, and it's like the strongholds that these nations have fallen under are some very basic ones, because those with the political power have not been exercising that political power with the interest of the common citizen in mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why the people, started forming their little conversational groups, and
mm-hmm.
then it got to a point where they decided that, it's time to tell our government what
mm-hmm.
we think about them.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, they put their lives on the line,
mm-hmm.
and that's an admirable thing,
mm-hmm.
to that they put their lives on the line for the sake of changing the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
Status quo, it only remains status quo if one person does not have the courage to challenge the status quo and say, that status quo in this area is wrong, in this area is out of line,
mm-hmm.
this way we're doing it pretty good, but let's not forget these other elements.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be remembered that it's inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that, Egypt is settling down, but there's going to be a long development for the elections, but
mm-hmm.
I just hope and pray a spirit of patience
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. reigns over the people, over the citizens,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so that this long and lasting change in a greater degree of democracy, which is what they desire,
mm-hmm.
an equal sharing of power through all segments of society,
mm-hmm.
will be done.
I was just looking at a Christian leader's status, and he kind of like said, the Egyptians, and I think he should have went beyond the description of Egyptians. People in the Middle East, an oppressive regime, want democracy, but they don't have the power. Well, they don't have the power, and I wish he had finished his statement, because they don't, people are trying to fight something within their system without the power of the Lord. And so, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the person of the Holy Spirit, provides that opportunity for people to truly be transformed. And when a heart is transformed and you get a collaboration of other people's hearts transformed, you do have a transformed and changed government from within people's hearts. True government, pure form of government where it addresses the people's needs, in complete social justice, happens when you have people that govern that have purified hearts and transformed hearts and transformed natures, and so it makes for a better kind of government. And that's what we're also seeing in this government, especially in the Congress and House of Representatives, and people with various agendas and their own power struggles, because they aren't truly transformed, and so they have lobbyists lobbying for this and lobbying for that. It really has nothing to do with social justice, but maybe would turn the clock back about 30 or 40 or 50 years in this country, where people really had no rights, and it was only for a select few who they say earned it. Let's just face it, when you're human beings, you don't earn rights. Jesus' rights become your rights, and his rights are far better than any other rights that any other country can use, or govern a people. His rights are, from heaven, and it's through his blood. But we need to really start putting up these cultural barriers of who gets rights, who deserves this, and who doesn't deserve this. Okay, and the Lord wants to break that stronghold. He wants to break that mindset right now over the people of God, especially who do not understand the position in the body of Christ and where the Lord wants them to occupy, not only with their hearts but with their mouth. So we just ask the Lord that you would just purify the hearts and minds and mouths of your people, especially in this country where we have greater freedom in the system of our government to be able to be Christian. But if we misuse this, it can be taken away from us. So we really need to align ourselves with the government of heaven, which is a higher government than, which is the kingdom of God, which is a higher government than what's on earth, okay? And it's perfect. It's a perfect government. And it's not an oppressive governmental regime, okay? So we just want to just ask the Lord to just come into that situation right now, that in this Exodus 2 season of what you do in the body and how you are forming people, specifically in the Middle East, so Lord, that we can all come together as one to usher in your kingdom, your coming. As your coming draws near. So we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
You.
We ask that you just touch this generation. Give it a big kiss. I got the desire to do this show through the Holy Spirit, and I didn't really want to even talk about anything political, because let's face it, too many Christians are, and I wanted to really approach it from a spiritual perspective. And so early morning hours of me and my husband's anniversary, the Lord surprised us, and I woke up and I'm looking at our supply closet, which is light, and we had a reflection coming in from the street, and I never seen this before, and the face of Jesus, very distinct, okay, appeared. It was very distinct, appeared on the panel, the front panel door of our supply closet. Now, you know, we have maps of outreach, pictures of outreaches and maps of different countries. So, for, you know, for prayer purposes. And we had a map of Haiti, right? And we had a map of Africa. We had a map of Africa next to the red mark, the red map of Africa, with no country specifically visible, but then we had next to it the map of Africa with all the countries that, you know, like you see in a regular map. And above the map where the countries, or the continent, different countries and provinces were not apparent. It was just a drawing of, you know, Africa,
an
outline, and it was painted
red.
We colored it red for the blood of Jesus. That above that was Haiti, and I showed Jeff where, you know, I'm like, did you see the face of Jesus? And he doesn't see like I see with his physical eyes, but he saw it clear enough in his pointing his fingers to the eyes and the nose and everything. Where the face of Jesus landed, was when I put the light on. The natural light in our place, when I put it on, it was, his face engulfed the whole nation of Haiti and the northeast part of Africa, which has Libya, Egypt, and Iran,
Sudan,
a few others that have been in the news recently. Whatever's happening in Egypt is also spurning similar situations happening in these areas. And, you know, I had looked at the newspaper yesterday while I was at Starbucks, and, you know, it looks like it's peaceful right now, but we have to continue in prayer and persist, because the Lord is over this. His face is shining upon this movement of young people throughout the world. And I just thank the Lord for this invention of Facebook. I want to ask the Lord to bless Mark Zuckerman. We actually... This weekend we were visiting my son Joshua, who's autistic, who had the hand of God over him that came out of in a picture when my husband was taking a picture just before Hurricane Gloria. Not Hurricane Gloria. Hurricane Katrina hit. Okay. And that's on you can see that picture in my photos under Dr. Shirley or in the Joshua Connection. And the hand of God is very visible coming out over his shoulder. And things like that. And I really believe my son is a suffering soul with the autism, and he knows how to pray. We taught him how to pray. He receives communion on behalf of what's going on in the world. And he's a silent soul. He doesn't say much of anything, because the Lord has stopped his speech for a certain time, for a certain period, because he's doing something in his spirit. And so when I recognized this in the spirit, I looked at it as an opportunity to use it as ministry time, what we call. And so what we do is we bring up communion and, you know, the holy oil, and we gather in prayer. But at the same time, we also visit him, you know, like mom and dad visit, you know, a member of the family. And we brought with us a DVD called Social Media Network. And it was rated PG-13, so there were some scenes that was like, oh, why are we watching this? But it wasn't, you know, they didn't, you know, the scenes went right into the content of the movie. But for the most part, Mark Zuckerman has I don't know if he has Asperger's, but it seemed like there was something different than any of the other students. But he actually, God used him to develop Facebook. It was called Face Mash at Harvard University. And, you know, he was like a geek person, and nobody quite understood him. But because the Lord was doing something in him and creating this idea to have social relationships in a networking fashion based on the principle of 6 degrees of separation, and using it, you know, on the internet to, you know, create, you know, a community, a social media community where people can exchange views and ideas, and you know, bring a part of themselves that they normally, you know, wouldn't be able to bring out because maybe a fear of meeting people and different things like that. So he took his deficit and he created a network, and it just, you know, caught on like wildfire. There was a point that it was, it looked like it was just going to totally crash, but then all of a sudden, you know, the Lord started making connections to other people and with Google and everything, and that's why we can enjoy things like Blog Talk Radio and Facebook and the videos and everything. And so the Lord was showing me to keep Mark Zuckerman in prayer, because you know, he has poured in his spirit of genius into this individual for such a time as this, and I pray that he gets Nobel Peace Prize for this invention of Facebook, and that no weapon fashioned or formed against Mark Zuckerman in the mighty name of Jesus prosper. That, Lord, that even people, you know, in these countries that are in, that have political upheaval, that they somehow will come to a peaceful resolution in their communities on Facebook, and that, Lord, you would raise up Christians, believers, followers of Christ that have the same vision and can use the genius, your genius, to bring about peace, you know, as proclaimed in Psalm 122, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it strengthen, you know, the our hearts, strengthen our cities, strengthen...
The time is 10 o'clock.
And strengthen our walls, you know, so that the walls will not come tumbling down, especially the ancient walls within our hearts, within our temples. And we thank you, Lord. We pray the peace of Jerusalem over Mark Zuckerman and all that he touches. We thank you, Jesus. And, Lord, we tie him by any depression that tries to come over him from time to time, because he feels oftentimes misunderstood by people. And so we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Surround him with your angel. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Jeff, is there anything else you want to say?
The whole thing can be resolved with prayer and fasting and
walking humbly before your God. In Jesus' name. So before we go, I want to lift up communion right now for this movement, for the movement that's about ready to take place on Facebook, or that started as a result of this conflict. And Lord, we just want to just offer up you, Lord, and we ask that you would indeed be the Lord of this harvest, where you are calling the people out of a certain kind of situation, out of oppression, because you are the one that sets the captives free. And we thank you, Lord. We ask that you set the captives free in the Middle East nations, Lord, for such a time as this. And Lord, that you will bring order to this peaceful demonstration, and that it will accomplish the task and purposes of which you've called it to be. So we just thank you, Jesus, that out of Egypt you are letting your people go in this Exodus 2 spiritually. You are transforming hearts and minds. You are calling Christians, followers of Christ from every walk, from every denomination, from every country to come to the aid of this movement. And we thank you, Jesus. We ask for your revelation of your goodness to come upon the young people, to come upon the government officials and of all nations, but specifically the nations here in the Middle East, Libya and Iran, and also those in Egypt and Israel. We also say that no weapon fashioned or formed against Israel in the mighty name of Jesus prosper. That this movement will actually help the cause of Israel, that it will actually be a peaceful resolution, and it will be used to distract the enemy from trying to destroy Israel. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. So on the night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it and gave thanks, and you said to your disciples, take this and eat this, all of you, for this is my body, which will be broken for you. We thank you. And whenever you eat this bread and you drink my blood, you proclaim my death until I come again in glory. So we just thank you, Lord, for your resurrection power and glory. In the same manner, he took the cup of wine, and he gave thanks. And he lifted it up and gave thanks, and he said, whenever you drink this cup, this is the cup of my blood, which will be shed for you and for all, for the sins of mankind. For as often as you drink this cup, you will remember, you will be freed up of sins, you will be covered in my blood, you will receive salvation, you will receive transformation and deliverance. Do this in memory of me. Jeff, you see the body? You see the body, Jesus? Amen. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Lord of the harvest, Yeshua, Hashiach. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the deliverer of a people, that you yearn to be set free. And so we thank you, Lord, and we declare and proclaim Exodus 2, that a peaceful solution to this, and that Jesus, you are truly setting people free. And we say, let my people go, set them free. We speak to the pharaohs of the land all over the world, specifically the Middle East, and we say, let the Lord's people that once destined to become the Lord's people, Pharaoh, let them go and set them free. Amen. In Jesus' holy name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And Lord, we ask that as you set these people free by your power and your blood, we ask for the Holy Spirit, that they would receive redemption and receive the Holy Spirit. Receive you as Lord and Savior, and we receive your Spirit to endue them with the power that they need to respond to the change that is in the atmosphere, to your change. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen. Well, it was really wonderful having this conversation. And we want to say, you know, we want to have this conversation continue in Jesus' name. So we just, you know, anybody that wants to pray for, specifically for the Middle East, what's going on there, join us at Faith Talks Live Prayer on Facebook, online 24/7 multimedia ministry. So you're going to, you know, get on there. You're going to request me, Dr. Shirley, or my husband. He calls himself Jeff on there. Jeff, even though he's Dr. Jeff, he's not as formal as I am with my accolades. But anyways, that's the difference between him and myself. So anyways, so you know, I have that logo. It's a WSCKI-TV logo right by that, Dr. Shirley Caniff. And once you're there, look for Faith Talks Live Prayer, multimedia online 24/7 prayer community. We have some wonderful prayer warriors, over 150 of them, and I'm telling you, the prayers are getting answered left and right. But we do pray specifically for the Middle East. We started this effort. That's how, you know, I started with the dream that the Lord had given me as he transported me to Iran. It was based on that experience in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. So we look forward to seeing you, and we love you. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
With your majesty, let your kingly robes flow down. Lord, I long to see the beauty of your glory. and the light of your love fill this place. Give us grace. How can I praise what I don't know? I long to worship when I can see your face. Give me grace. How can I worship when I don't see with eyes of faith your glory surrounding me? Let it be. Let it be so. Lord, would you ravish me with your majesty? Let your kingly robes flow down. Lord, I long to sing the beauty of your glory in the light of your love. Fill this place. I feel you wind. I feel you wind blow through me. And your fire consume me. And the odor of joy flows down, down, down. Bend down and hear what I say. I'm not afraid. Take me to the place where your fire burns. Where your fire
to the place where your fire burns. where your fire burns. Everlasting burning. Who of us can dwell with a consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? Who walks righteously and speaks what is right? Who rejects gain from extortion and keeps his hand from accepting bribes? Who stops his ears against plots of murder and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil? This is the man who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied, and water will not fail